I'm going to be around my vegetables. I'm going to chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
I could just listen to that song for 5-10 minutes, but we have wonderful guests, and we want to talk to them even more, so we welcome. Putting in years of preparation and work, two friends created a vibrant, fully vegan, inspiration-packed Veg Fest for their hometown region, the Hudson Valley. Hudson Valley Veg Fest debuted last year in September, bringing in 2,500 people. Now, how do you top that? Well, you do it again. You do it November 3rd and 4th in Poughkeepsie. To tell us more is Rebecca Moore, who is co-founder of Hudson Valley Veg Fest, the co-founder of the Institute for Animal Happiness, a longtime activist for social causes, a musician, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Rebecca to the program. How are you?
Wow, thank you very much.
It's great to have you on the program. Brian Normoyle is with us as well. Nice to welcome him back. Co-produces Hudson Valley Veg Fest, co-founded the Institute for Animal Happiness, and also works on humane education and various publishing initiatives. Brian, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, first of all, you have made our staff incredibly happy, myself included. There is enough Veg Fest. We're having our own Veg Fest in the lobby.
Here.
That was our goal.
That is very nice.
Yes.
Now, for people on the radio, they don't know, but just some of the things that are out there, I assume, reflect what is going to be at the festival itself.
Correct. We have a number of offerings that we brought our generous vendors and sponsors. Garden Cafe, that's based in Woodstock, all vegan. Healthy Gourmet to Go.
In Saugerties.
In Saugerties. She makes amazing vegan cake that's there
and
right
everything.
Now. It's a great breakfast food.
Yes. It's a great food.
Wonderful cheese out there.
There's Wendy's Nutty Cheeses or Wendy's Vegetarian, who's an amazing vendor who's going to be for the second year at Hudson Valley Veg Fest, and also the Green Palette, our friends who make incredible, like, Italian-inspired vegan versions of your favorite comfort foods. So we have the quote-unquote meatball parmigiana out there, but it's all vegan. It's all delicious.
All right. So let us talk. Well, first of all, thank you for the goodie. On behalf of the entire staff, I say thank you for feeding us so beautifully. Now, let us talk about how this all came about. Rebecca, this mentioned that you and your friend, they said, okay, let's do something.
Yes, my friend Sandy, who I hope is listening, we just thought, at the time we started working on this in 2015, there was no vegan festival in the Hudson Valley. And we just thought, we have to start getting this together. And we took our time with it because we sort of knew it was going to be big because we'd been going to other cities, there are Veg Fests. It's kind of a phenomenon that's spreading. Tens of thousands of people come out to the other ones. And we couldn't understand why at that time there wasn't a big vegan festival in the Hudson Valley, because when you go to other cities, this is a really huge growing movement. So we started work on it, and we debuted in 2017. And now Brian and I are just continuing to carry it forward. Sandy's going to be doing a cooking demo at this year's event. But it is a growing conversation. And I think especially I want to be sensitive to current events, you know, and what you've been talking about all this morning, that compassionate movements, I think, are rising in response to some of the violence in society, some of the social injustices. I think for me, the vegan diet is a social justice diet. And how I came to it was I read The World Peace Diet by Will Tuttle. And I started to make connections between my daily choices as a person. The violence that I felt like I was supporting with 3 times a day. You know, we like to say amongst vegans that veganism is choosing peace 3 times a day, that the power we can't underestimate while we take on these huge issues in the world, the power of our choices every single day to vote for peace, to vote against violence, and to discover new ways and innovate new ways of being compassionate and bringing ourselves together. So it's not just a vegan festival, it's an intersectional festival.
You both are part of the Institute for Animal Happiness. So what is that, and how does that fit in?
Brian's gesturing to me. I started bringing chickens home because I worked at animal rescues, and
it always starts with a chicken.
Yes. Well, if you
bring one chicken home, and then
and it just goes from there.
Yeah.
It was Nelly, a bird with two crippled feet, and what was interesting was he was rejected from the sanctuary, the animal sanctuary I worked at the time, and suddenly I thought about. Even amongst animals, we have these hierarchies of who's important and worth advocating for and who's not. And so
I've never gotten that. Yeah. I mean, why would you help something? I feel this way about when we feed the birds and we say, screw the squirrels. I don't get that.
Yes. Well, and it's the same with veganism. We all hug and love our dogs every day and our cats at home. And it's, you know what it comes down to? Something NPR is very famous for, education. It's simply education. And that's where Brian's passion with humane education comes in.
So then what happened with the chicken?
Well, I brought him home and I realized how incredible he was. I knew it already. I was working at animal rescues.
He loves to watch TV.
But
by the way, Mike, could you check the records? Is that the first time I've said, so what happened with the chicken on the show? Okay, go ahead.
Well, Nellie P. Rooster, the crippled rooster, ended up also becoming Tina Hen, and then Larry Rooster, and then Buckles and Pancakes were rescued, and suddenly we realized that there was a movement called the Micro Sanctuary Movement, which is people using the small spaces they have to become very high ethics animal rescues. So now VegFest is supporting the growth of the Institute for Animal Happiness.com, and I want to say that. And Hudson Valley VegFest this weekend, there's a lot of animal rescues representing. So what's exciting about it is we're sort of trying to help ourselves with this event, and part of doing this event was to bring everyone together under the same roof and sort of show the Hudson Valley. It's not just this one organization here having a vegan event or this one group here. Look how huge this world is. It's the food, the clothing, the ethics, the social justice components, the environmental issues are huge around veganism, supporting veganism. So if people come, we just hope they'll kind of be blown away at how it all intersects and how people who are looking to be empowered in their compassionate choices every day, you and me both, this is a huge way we can start deconstructing the violent infrastructure that we're kind of all taking part in, but we don't necessarily understand it.
Brian.
And Joe, you know, if I may, I think we're going to have 100 vendors at this event.
Yeah.
We have one or two more vendors signing up today, 14 speakers, educational speakers, activists, and also food demonstrations. We had over 2,500 attendees last year, and we know that we're going to exceed that number this year. But none of this happens without this lady next to you. Rebecca, I mean, this is a heavy lift. And she, because of her activism, because of her connections in the community, in terms of the vendors, plant-based vendors, vegan vendors, food vendors, and small businesses that are working really, really hard to try to affect change in a positive way. Educators, but it starts here.
So let's explore that for a second, Rebecca. As I mentioned, last September was the first event. So what have you learned since then? What do you learn when you do the first one that helps you bring the second one into being?
I learn increasingly how important it is to represent a diverse amount of voices, that there is no one vegan voice. There are incredible people, Omawale Adewale, who is coming. He's a founder of Black VegFest in New York City, which is an incredible event that highlights the contributions of people of color in the vegan movement who have historically not been represented by, you know, the media that does promote these issues. So it's such an honor for him to come, or just to really represent. We have one cooking demo being done by Alyssa Miller, who is deaf, and her organization is definitely vegan. And so this is why I call myself an intersectional vegan. I'm not just vegan, because for me, the key to all of us having a more compassionate world is when we find our commonality. Mm-hmm. And so we work really hard. We can always do better to try to get anyone who can represent to come. And I wish there were more time and more funds to bring even more education. I never get tired of learning from these different speakers.
So what type of, and I'll ask this question to both of you, but what type of education do you think is needed?
I think that for all of us coming into the world, we come in with an education at different stages and awareness of each other. And we're either adding more layers or trying to peel them away. We've all been told that someone else is other and lesser. And it, for one person, it may be the animals. For someone else, it may be someone's religion or skin color. But we've made an art form out of heavily fortifying these barriers. And for me, the point of a veg fest is to start deconstructing and going, why does that barrier exist? I mean, if you care about this person, can't you care about the suffering of this animal? And also, I'm a fact-based person. I'm a science-based person. A lot of animal rights activists, I think we're dealing with the stigma of people thinking that we're just cute animal people, but this is science. These are sentient beings. They feel, they understand. Pigs have the intelligence and chickens of toddlers. And yet we're subjecting them en masse to these horrifying realities, billions of animals a year. And the hypocrisy of that for peace activists, if I can say that, you know, most of us would never want a job in a slaughterhouse. We would never want our daughter or son to do that all day, every day. It's dehumanizing. It's impossible. It's an impossible environment. And yet we support these things going on. But how do you think that gets on your plate? Someone's been doing the work somewhere, and most of the time they didn't choose to do it. Very rare person chooses that job. I think there's a reason that all the top animal agriculture companies, the top meat companies and dairy companies are starting to invest in plant-based alternatives and vegan foods. And I think there's two reasons for this. I think one is the environment is forcing their hand, and money is often the bottom line for these massive companies.
Right.
But at the same time, I think that a certain managerial level is aging out, and younger people are coming up through these companies and going, I can't keep this going. This is horrible.
There's an audience, too. I mean, yes. there are people that want
and
to.
There's more exactly. of an audience. Yeah. Though we all know with current events as they are, it's not just a matter of showing people what's wrong. Like, I was listening to you earlier this morning, and like a lot of animal rights activists could echo what you said, that we thought getting the video in front of people would change. Back in the 80s and 90s, when my friends were talking about this, we thought, oh, if we could only get this on the air, you know, everybody would be horrified and change. And it is surreal to be in a world where facts of what we all witness and see are being challenged. Yeah.
Brian, anything you'd like to add to that?
Well, I don't know if I could add anything to that, but when I one thing that comes to mind is, you know, when you think of humane education, we define that as the ethical and compassionate treatment of all beings, and you include the earth in that as a living organism. So for me, what we're trying to accomplish here is to inform and educate through Hudson Valley Veg Fest and the Institute in a fun and compassionate way. And it's a safe space for people to come, eat great food, be with community, learn and experience this in a fun way. So
it's the Hudson Valley Veg Fest. It's happening November 3rd and 4th in Poughkeepsie. And just a real quick, tell about the venue, because it's a cool venue.
Yeah, we love our venue.
The Net.
It is called The Net at Gold's Gym, and it doesn't sound glamorous, perhaps, but it is this big, huge AstroTurf space the size
Coffee
of three,
on the feet.
three soccer fields. And you will be able to wander the aisles, spacious. And we want community to come out. We know we're facing some big issues. Come out, come together. This is one other way we can empower each other for more positive things.
You could bring your WAMC picnic blanket.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
You could
literally
actually
camp out. And we
camp
saw
out.
People doing that.
Nice synergy. We like them. Hudson Valley Veg Fest is happening November 3rd and 4th this coming weekend in Poughkeepsie. You can find out all about it. We'll have a link on our website, but you can go to HVVegFest, V-E-G-F-E-S-T, HVVegFest.org for more information. Brian and Rebecca, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. Thank you for the beautiful food that you brought to us. And thank you for the great work you're doing in the community.
Such a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you
very
much.
What an honor.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.